You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network.
You're listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. Come on, Dolphins fans. Time to fins up.
Miami's got the Dolphins, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen. We're in the air, we're on the ground, we're always in control.
Good morning, Miami Dolphins fans. How are you today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily on this Thursday, October the 1st. Joining me today is Ian Berger from right here at DolphinsTalk.com. Ian, how you doing today?
Hey, Mike. It's another Miami Dolphins football week. I am awesome. Happy Thursday, buddy.
Happy Thursday. And it's October 1st. It seems like the season's already 1 month old, pretty much. I know it started like the second week of September, but it's going by here pretty quick as we are officially in October. And I guess the big news since we last spoke, Ian, was the Miami Dolphins got their first win. First win of the season, last Thursday night, national TV. They sort of broke that curse, and they won a game on national TV, and they did it in commanding fashion. So I guess first things first, what were your overall thoughts on last Thursday's game and the win over Jacksonville?
I was impressed, actually. I was impressed at all facets of the game. I was impressed with the offense, the way that they came out so strong, and they scored their first couple of drives, and they really put Jacksonville in a hole. Then I also like the defense. You know, that was one of my concerns going into the game, especially after the first 2 weeks. You know, could the defense hold Minshew, who has had some good games, and their running game, which the Dolphins have had some problems with, you know, could the defense hold them back? And they did. Forced a couple turnovers, ended up the game with four sacks, which was a pleasant, not surprise, because I think we've expected it all along, but it was nice to see it happening. And then the third aspect is the special teams. You know, the special teams did a great job. I mean, Matt Hack got that ball down to the 3-yard line with one of the punts. And when you can change field position like that and make it so hard for the opposing team, you're doing something great. And then lastly, too, I think coaching. I think they coached a really solid game. I think the game plan from the offensive side, the game plan on the defensive side, I think it all came together. And, you know, we've talked about it before, Mike, but it took the first couple of weeks for everyone to start working together and playing together. And I think we saw that on Thursday night.
Yeah, it was probably the most complete game we've seen them play in many years. And I don't care who they're playing against. People are saying, well, it's just Jacksonville. Well, let's be honest. As fans of the Miami Dolphins heading into that game on a short week on the road with no Jones, we were all pretty damn nervous about the Jacksonville Jaguars. Yep. Let's be honest. Let's not change things after the fact. We were all nervous because Jacksonville looked pretty good the first few weeks of the year. So that was as complete a game. And, you know, I saw some people on social media sort of nitpick this. This is not one of those games to nitpick. We know they have flaws as a team. We know there's things they still have to work on. And they still have to improve if they want to be teams that are, you know, a step above Jacksonville. We get it. But for one night, and for at least a week, I'd say, be happy. Just be happy they won, and they got one on the board, and be happy that it looks like, you know, well, things aren't perfect. They're improving week over week, and they're, especially on offense. I think the improvements on offense week over week really are stunning, and I think the top person I want to sort of talk about here is at the running back spot with Miles Gaskin. Big E, this guy has come out of nowhere, and he is playing really, really well so far.
I love Miles Gaskin, but I think, too, you know, when you talk about Gaskin and the success that he's had, you also got to give that credit to the offensive line because they're able to help get him some of those holes. Now, yes, he is doing a much better job with his opportunity versus, you know, maybe our other running backs, Breida and Howard. But, you know, he's smaller. He's quicker. He's able to, you know, that first drive, I think he was averaging like 8 or 10 yards per carry. And I love Joe Buck because he said, you know, Miles Gaskin is going to make the Pro Bowl just by this game. And I love that. And I was laughing when he said that. And, you know, that's encouraging. It's encouraging because, he's one of those guys that is so hungry. He was undrafted through the draft. The Dolphins picked him up, and he really was, what was he, fourth or fifth on the roster last season?
Yeah, he was very good on the depth chart.
He's worked his way up to now where he's starting, and he's being effective and efficient when he's starting. So I like that. And I like the fact, too, that we still have Breida and Howard, and people are like, well, you know, you should be using these guys because you spent so much money. No, that's not the way.
Who cares?
Exactly. That's not the way that Coach Flores does it. Coach Flores says, I'm going to put the guy in there that's going to be successful for me right now. And you know what? Maybe in two or three more weeks, Breida is going to be that guy. Or maybe in a couple weeks, Howard's going to be that guy. But right now, it's Gaskins, and I love what I'm seeing with him.
Yeah, I mean, he just has a little pop. When he gets the ball in his hands, there's something there. There's a little bit of explosiveness, a little bit of pop that you just don't see with the other guys. Breida, I do think it's there, and I do think he'll actually get a little bit he'll start to play better as the year goes on. With Howard, I got to be honest, I just haven't seen it yet. And I don't know. Look, he's got – I don't want to say he's got a lot of tread on the tires or off the tires, I guess, is a statement, because he has played a lot, but he's still very young. I don't see it with Howard. But, you know, from 1 yard out near the end zone, that's not a bad trait to have to be, quote-unquote, that guy who can just punch it in from a yard out, because that's not easy. Trust me, that's not easy. That's when everyone knows you're going to run the ball and you still find a way to get that hardest yard on the field. So if that's all he can provide in 2020, I'll take it, because I know somebody has to do that. Number one.
Somebody brought and up then, a great point on Twitter and said, you know, at the rate that Howard is going right now, at the end of the season, he'll end up with like 14 touchdowns and like 120 yards, you know, and a small number of carries. And would you take that? Would you take that from him? Absolutely.
14 touchdowns? Yeah, I'll take 14 touchdowns.
Minimal yards, of course.
Look, we have sat through teams with quarterbacks like John Beck and Cleo Lemon and other, you know, guys who, let's just be nice, aren't that great, let's say. I'll take 14 touchdowns from any offense from one player. Absolutely. So, yeah, I mean, so I think that room, I mean, they have three guys who I think can play in this league, and that's probably the most important thing, number one. But the offensive line, like you said, the two youngsters are playing fantastic right now. Austin Jackson, I'm not sure if you saw the tweet that I retweeted from Brian Baldinger, who broke down the Austin Jackson film against Jacksonville. Dude, that guy is just, he's playing at a high level. And not a high level as like a rookie, just a high level across the board as any NFL offensive tackle. I know it's early, and who knows, he could hit a rookie wall or something. Who knows? But we'll talk about that when the time is right. Right now, it's not right. He's playing at a high level. Solomon Kinley is playing fantastic as well. He was out there. He looked like he was having so much fun last Thursday night, which is always good to see, because if he's having that much fun, it means he's feeling confident. And if he's feeling that confident, that's a big step for any rookie. So, yeah, I think the offense is obviously, it's getting there. It's getting there. Now, the other side of the ball, still a little work in progress at times. Oh, you're on mute.
Oops, sorry about that.
That's all right.
Hit the button by mistake. So on the defensive side, it is getting there. And I think a couple of points that I'd like to make, one being, through 3 weeks last year, we had four sacks by the defensive line. We had four sacks in this game against the Jaguars. We have eight sacks so far through the first 3 weeks of the season. You know, so when you compare, again, where we were, where we are today, we have grown a lot. There's still a lot of opportunity, especially from the front end. And Zach Seiler is playing great as well. But Christian Wilkins, he is leading interior defensive linemen in the NFL in certain types of run stop categories, you know, and you don't hear his name a lot, but you see this after the fact and you're like, oh, he's the one that's mainly doing that right now. So, you know, he was, again, our first round draft pick last season, and he's still doing great things. I remember that first game against the Patriots where he had two, you know, smackdown balls that were thrown, and you know, you think you haven't heard much from him since then, but he's been doing some really, really great things so far in the first 3 weeks. So, again, they're growing together just like the rest of the team is, and I think we're going to need them more this weekend than we have so far this entire season so far against the Seahawks.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think a lot of the issues that they're having on that side of the ball right now, which if you would have told me prior to the season that kind of be surprised, are at linebacker, because I actually thought they were very deep at linebacker. It seems like right now that's where they're struggling. And Landon Roberts sort of hasn't looked great. I know he missed the one game against the Bills, but when he has been out there, he is not looking like he is in the moment right now. He's just not looking very good. I think the loss of Vince Beagle is kind of hurt a bit with the pass rush, a little bit. Just having a guy out there with a nonstop motor who's all over the field. And just, you know, I think linebackers sort of, that's where they sort of have to shore things up. And if they do that, I think it will sort of resonate with the rest of the side of the ball there with the line and even in the secondary. So, yeah, I mean, overall, though, that was a solid win. They're making improvements week over week, game over game, and that's what you want to see in this young 2020 season. It's an odd season, so that's good there. Now they're going to go up in class, though. They're going to take a step up in class with Seattle, and we're going to talk about that. But first, E, we have to talk about Manscaped. And let me tell you about Manscaped, E. Last night, or on Tuesday night, as we record this late on Wednesday, I'm not going to lie to people, this recorded on Wednesday, it's going to drop on Thursday. On Tuesday night, I'm sitting there watching TV, watching our president and watching Joe Biden. You know, they're going at it like most people. You know, people are making too much out of this. They're arguing, screaming. Every debate is kind of like this. This might have been a bit extreme. I get it. But I have a feeling if these guys had been using some Manscaped products, they would have been much more comfortable on stage and much more cool. And they would have been, stop laughing, and they would have been less aggressive, let's just say.
Okay.
Because I'm going to tell you this. This week, I used for the first time the Crop Mop, and it changed my life. I love the Crop Mop. It is amazing. And let me tell you, if you go to manscaped.com and use the promo code DolphinsTalk, you can buy the Crop Mop and save 20% off. Or you can buy other various products like their foot spray to just make sure your feet don't stink. They got the Crop Cleanser. They got the Plow, and they got so many other great products. But I'm thinking if Trump and Joe Biden use some Manscaped products, you know, they might have been more, you know, under control on stage back on Tuesday night, and things might have been more civil between the two. So everyone, be sure to go to manscaped.com, use the promo code DolphinsTalk, and maybe next week when we see Kamala Harris and Mike Pence. Obviously, for Ms. Harris, she doesn't need any of these products. But maybe if Mike Pence uses some Manscaped products, he will be in a nicer mood and we'll see a more civil tone when the two major political parties in our country debate the issues in the lead up to the election. So everyone, well,
I think
go to Manscaped.
That's the right idea. I think
so too.
I think if they are calmer, I think we can definitely say that, you know, Pence being calmer is because of Manscaped. Absolutely. No doubt.
And if you're going to vote for someone in 2020, Manscaped in 2020 is
there
the way to go.
There
using
you go.
The promo code Dolphins Talk to save 20% on your order. Whether your order is a $5 order or a $10 order, or whether you want to go nuts. That's probably the wrong word to use, go nuts. So spend $50 or more, you can save 20% on your order with the promo code Dolphins Talk.
So hey, I'm going to make a commitment to you, Mike, because
yes.
I have now the mower. I'm going to test it out. I'm going to test out the mower, and I'm going to let you know how it is next week, next Wednesday.
Next Thursday.
Well, yeah, next Thursday. Morning.
Wednesday, yes. Thursday, whenever. Who cares? Two people figure this stuff out. When we drop the show, Big E will give his review of the mower.
Oh, right.
Folks, this is must-listen-to podcasting, and it's fine. Excellence in podcasting right here with the DolphinsTalk.com Daily Show with Big E, Ian Berger. Now, let's transition away from that. Into this week's game between the Miami Dolphins and the Seattle Seahawks live from Hard Rock Stadium on Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Big E, you will be there. Now, the second home game of the year, from your first home game of the year to the second home game, will you be changing anything up, or do you expect things will run pretty much as smooth as it did last time and you don't expect much changes here and expecting another glorious experience at Hard Rock Stadium?
I actually do think it's going to be a pretty easygoing experience, especially now that a lot of the people that went last time around now know what to expect when they get there and, you know, what they expect when they get in. So I'm expecting to be able to get in easily, get to our seats as quickly as possible. You know, my youngest daughter, Jessica, is going to come with me again. And I think one of the differences, though, too, is that about 25% of the fans were Bills fans, and I don't know if Seattle travels as well as the Bills do. So I think we may have more Dolphins fans than Seahawks fans, but we'll see.
I'd be very surprised to see. I mean, I'm sure there's always going to be one or two, but I'd be very surprised to see many fans of the Seattle Seahawks who either A, already live in South Florida, or B, will actually travel for this game.
Right, exactly.
In the middle of a pandemic. I don't see it happening. But, yeah, it should be a probably 99% home crowd here for the Dolphins, which is always nice to see. I'm going to be interested to see about the number. Because I know for the last game, they're allowed to have 13,000. They had around 11,000 and change. Let's see if it stays around that number or if it goes up. I'd be surprised if it went down. I really would. Because I think people right now, one, you have the team coming off a win. Number two, in South Florida, right now sports is at an all-time high with the Heat. In the finals, you got the Miami Hurricanes, who are off to a nice start. So I think people are sort of into sports right now.
Don't forget the Marlins.
And the Marlins are in the playoffs as well. That's true. So I think folks are into the playoffs and are into sports overall. And I think we're going to see a nice turnout here for the Dolphins. And, look, it's not an easy game. We all know Seattle's good. But, God, if they ever won, folks, we know it. Expectations are going to go through the roof if they ever beat Seattle at home.
Yeah, it's, when I watched the Seattle game on Sunday, and I watched it against Dallas, not just because I had Dak Prescott starting for my fantasy league, but because I also wanted to see the Seahawks playing, and just watching Russell Wilson, I had my jaw open for half of the game because he made some of those throws, and some of those wide receivers were absolutely wide open, and then, of course, DK Metcalf made that silly decision where he started hot-dogging at the 5-yard line and they lost the fumble in the end zone. But I thought to myself, how are the Dolphins going to do with this team? And I started convincing myself over the last couple of days that I do think that the Miami Dolphins do have an opportunity to pull this out. And we all know, we say it every time, that any given Sunday, anything's possible. And we say that the Seahawks are great. And then I look at what the Bills have done, and we kept it very close with the Bills, and they are now at 3-0, and we had the opportunity to beat them 2 weeks ago. So, I think from an offensive standpoint, we have the firepower, we have the ability, and their defense, they have the 32nd ranked pass defense in the NFL right now. So, and the run defense is, I think, 7th or 8th right now in the NFL. And that's probably because once Russell Wilson gets going and starts scoring high, everybody goes passing to the air. Yeah. Exactly. But their defense is also banged up a little bit. They've got 4 of their backfield members that are currently on the they're questionable for this week's game, in addition to or including Jamal Adams. And then they've got their starting running back, Chris Carson, who is also injured. We're going to see some ex-Miami Hurricanes that may get a lot of touches during the game. I know DJ Dallas is one, and then I know that there's a second one, and his name escapes me right now. But the Dolphins have had 10 days to plan for this. And Coach Flores has been working with the defensive coordinator to come up with ways to scheme, because we have seen so many running quarterbacks already in these first 3 weeks that we've had to have figured it out, right? We've got to start figuring out some of these schemes, and I cannot anticipate, or I don't think it's going to happen, where we see those wide receivers as wide open as they were against Dallas. But they're a high performing team, but they have to travel. That's one thing. They have to travel from the West Coast to the East Coast. It's always a little bit of trouble for West Coast teams. We're going to be in the upper 80s, lower 90s on Sunday. And right now, I checked Seattle. They're in the 60s right now, so they're going to be going to a little bit of a different climate. And who knows if they're going to be able to last the full game. We've seen players get sick on the field because they can't keep up with the heat in Miami. And then you've got all these positives going. The Dolphins got their first victory. They now have 3 weeks under their cap. Anything is possible. Anything is possible. And I think that we can pull out the win. I've changed my mind throughout the week. But I think we can pull out the win if a couple of things go our way.
Absolutely. If they catch a break here or there, they can absolutely win this game. And, you mentioned a few interesting points. Number one, The Seahawks are giving up a lot of yards versus the pass, and some of that is because they do play the run so well, so teams are going to pass more. So if they pass more naturally, their numbers are going to look improved. But the other part of that is, you know, versus the pass, they're not as good. I mean, look, they're good. They're not as good as some people think. And, you know, I said this, and everyone got so mad at me on social media when they made the trade for Adams. And I, you know, look, he's a great player. Nobody's not saying he's not a great player. But I said this and people flipped out, and I think now they're going to see it firsthand, if not this week, this year with Seattle. For as great as he is, and he is great at safety, he is a liability in the passing game. That's why the Jets, you know, when they were offered 2 first-round picks, they would have probably traded him for 2 first-round picks anyways. But they knew his limitations, and some of his limitations are in the passing game. He cannot cover like other elite safeties. He just can't. And I think he's being, I don't want to say exposed is the wrong word, but that's being showcased some here in Seattle. Now, yes, playing the run, coming down in the box, being that extra guy in the box, he's fantastic. That's what he can do. He's a scud missile. He will see the runner and come out of nowhere and make that tackle, and he's still a great player. But if you put him in space, lined up against, say, Mike Gesicki, he's going to struggle. He's not that kind of – he ain't Ronnie Lott. He's not one of the all-time great safeties. He's not Ed Reed. He's not in that level. Now, he's talked about like that level, but he's not. And I think that's part of the reason why they haven't been so great in the secondary, and they have given up a lot of yards passing this year, because teams aren't afraid of him. Like, teams don't have him on that level like fans do. And I think sometimes I always say to fans, watch the games. And I know, you know, most fans aren't watching a lot of games of the Jets because, they stink, and B, who the hell wants to watch the Jets these days? Or last year, they stink. But if you actually watch the games, he does struggle in the past. Well, that's one thing. And if he's not out there, that's obviously very good overall for the Miami Dolphins. I also think I saw them play the last two games, Seattle, because they played on Sunday night against the Patriots on primetime, and then they obviously played the main game on Fox at 4. You know, the offense right now, Wilson's in the zone, man. He is in that zone where he got the ball on the string, and he can put it to anybody, anywhere, at any time. I'm less worried about him running around because he's one of those guys who only runs when he has to. He doesn't look to run first. He runs when the pocket breaks down. He's not like Newton who runs or Allen who looks to run to make a play. He only runs when he has to. So I'm less worried about him scrambling too much. But their wide receivers are good. I said it on the podcast on Monday show, I believe. You know, that's a good group. And Jones, he hasn't been on the practice field for Miami this week from all the reports. So it's not looking promising like he's going to be out there. And I know Howard, at the start of the practice on Tuesday, was getting his knee worked on. We'll see about that. But that's going to be the challenge. Can they stop the passing game? Running-wise, they can probably slow down them enough, especially if Chris Carson's less than 100%. I think they can slow down enough there, but it's going to come down. You know, is Wilson going to have another 5-touchdown game? Because if he does, Miami's toast. They can't win a shootout with nobody. Few teams will, but Miami is not built that way. So we'll see what Miami does. I think, once again, just like against Jacksonville, they have to run the ball, they have to control the tempo, and they have to win time of possession. That's the only way this team is going to win games. They are not the type of team who can have a bad week in the time of possession and not be able to run the ball to win. That's not how they're built. They can't. You get games like the Bills, where maybe you'll make a little bit of a comeback, but you're not going to ultimately win. So that's the key. Run the ball with success. Let Fitzpatrick not turn it over. Have a game where he throws the ball 20 times, not 47 times. Right. And those are the games they're going to win, E. And I think that's the blueprint, and we'll see if they can do it. This team's going to be a challenge. They're going to put up points. It's up to Miami to finish drives, not settle for field goals, and sort of just don't give them the number of opportunities to put up points. But then when you got the ball, get touchdowns.
No, you're right. You're right. And, you know, I'm excited but nervous at the same time.
Yeah,
for this weekend's game.
I have more confidence in this game than I do against, like, 10 of the games in weeks 1 and 2. Look, I'd be surprised if they won. I'm not going to lie. But I wouldn't be stunned. I wouldn't be stunned either.
So at the beginning of the season, when we looked at the schedule, I think most of us with Dolphins Talk said that the Dolphins versus Seattle game would probably go to Seattle, just knowing how strong they have been in the past. And I was one of those individuals that said that too. But again, any weekend, if you're prepared, you know, and I want to see the win, not just because I think it'll be great for the Dolphins, it'll be great for the national media, but I think it will be great for our fans, because right now, especially heading into week three versus Jacksonville, you had this group of fans that, you know, especially on social media, that were all over the fins, wanted people fired, wanted the coaches gone, you know, offensive coordinator wasn't making the plays. And then after the Jacksonville win,
everyone shut up real quick,
you know, and you saw kind of that group saying, well, maybe they are good, right? Maybe they are doing the right thing. So if we can continue that with the win, then we're going to actually get all the rest of the naysayers that said that this was not going to be a good team this season. You know, I think there's still people out there that say this is a 5-11 team. And, you know, and I don't believe that. I do think that this team is a much better team than a 5-11. I do think they're still at least an 8-8 or better team, you know, because again, too, we have to play the New York Jets. So there's at least two wins. Twice, exactly. So at least we're 3-2 right there, right? And then you've got the Denver Broncos, who they are decimated. You've got the 49ers. Yeah, they're decimated. They had a good game last weekend. I don't think that can continue, you know, especially with all the people that they have missing. So you start looking at the schedule and you start saying to yourself, some of these games are against teams that are very easily winnable games. So we just need to get past this hump of the Seattle Seahawks and then see where things lie. It could actually kind of go in a really positive direction.
This next month is going to tell the tale of this whole season, because this next month is the hardest stretch they're going to face, where you're home against Seattle, at the Broncos, at San Francisco, then they got two home games versus each of the teams from Los Angeles. So you got five games here coming up. These next five games will tell the tale. If they can find a way to just win two, I don't even care which two, just win two, they're going to be all set, because after that, it gets softer, the schedule. It does get softer, gets a little easier. You have some more games where you're not facing, you know, teams that are, you know, possibly Super Bowl contenders, like Seattle and the Rams, San Francisco. So if they can just find a way to win two, obviously, like you said, at the Broncos looks totally different than it did at the start of the year right now. That game is very much winnable. I'm not saying they are going to win, but it's more winnable than we thought it would be. I think San Francisco, it all depends on how hurt or not hurt they really are. Because they have a lot of guys who are out right now, but they might be coming back. We'll see. Even if they're out, though, that's a team, like I said, you look at the Miami Dolphins and how they're having this roster built here in this rebuild. In my opinion, they're kind of using the San Francisco type of layout on how they did it, because that's a team that has depth everywhere. I mean, if they lose a guy or two, they really don't miss a beat. Now, granted, their last few wins here were against the Jets and the Giants, which I don't know if those should even count, but they still looked impressive with all those injuries to still blow those teams out. So I guess it counts for something. But, you know, Herbert, I'm guessing, will play with the Chargers, because I don't think they're going back to Tyrod. I honestly don't. What's the point? I mean, it makes no sense. So you're going to get a rookie quarterback there probably. Rams, you know, God bless anyone who's got to block Aaron Darnold. God bless him. I really don't know how that. So
that'll be the test. That'll be the true challenge for our offensive line.
Yeah, Solomon Kinley, Ted Karras, and Eric Flowers. That's a true test right there. But this next five-game stretch is going to tell the tale of the season. If they win two or more, playoffs aren't crazy, especially with the extra spot now in the playoffs. You know, if they go 0-5, I think we can write off the playoffs, and then we start talking about Tua, but that's a different.
Yeah, true.
So this next five-game stretch is going to tell the tale. You know, just go 2-3. I don't care which two they even win. Just go 2-3. Although if they did win this week versus Seattle, I guess that would kind of be of a letdown. Only go 2-3. You just want a little bit more.
You can go that good for such a great team. Exactly, you want it to be more wins.
Exactly. But just keep your head above water, because after this stretch, it does get easier. Even at the Cardinals, you know, they lost at home to the Lions this week.
It is a winnable game. Exactly.
And plus, with all the injuries this year, and I just saw a story, which I want to mention this here as we get close to wrapping the show up. There's the NFLPA has sent something to all the owners in the league that they want every NFL stadium to change over to natural grass. That they feel, since between the years 2012 and 2018, they did a little bit of a study or a little, or some research, and the majority of the people getting hurt on the field has come on field turf, and they feel they haven't perfected that yet. And until they get field turf perfected, they want every stadium all to be natural grass. Hard Rock Stadium is natural grass. I know some fans hate it, but it is natural grass. So that might be something here in the near future in the league that we see, because if they go to natural grass, maybe we will see a few less injuries, because there's been a ton of injuries this year around the league. Miami's been really lucky that it's really only been Jones, I guess, and that has nothing to do with the actual field turf or grass debate. And Parker's injury came in the summer. It's just sort of been lingering. They've been lucky. A lot of teams have not been lucky.
You're right. And I kind of question, though, is that because of the COVID situation that we're in and they didn't get that opportunity for those 4 weeks to, you know, to really kind of bang in there with the other players and kind of work their way up? Yeah.
Let me just cut you off real quick, because I got the link right here to the article, actually. I think they're going from a study from 2012 to 2018. So they're not even counting 2019 or this year. They're just doing an overall from – it's not like a one-year thing. So it's been something that has been ongoing. I guess it was done at the University of Cornell, it looks like. And it's not just a one-year thing. Oh, here it is. The NFL Players Association president cited the league's official injury report from 2012 to 2018 to state his case that natural grass – fields provide a much lower risk for injuries compared to artificial surfaces. So they're not even going off anything from this year. This has been a longer study that's been ongoing. So just something to sort of put in the back of your mind, folks, because look, it's probably not going to happen overnight. But these days, even all the teams that play indoors, there are ways to play on natural grass. Some of these new stadiums put the field on rollers, and they roll it in and out of the stadium, essentially. So it is grass. So it can be done, and we'll see if what the league does here in time. But I just found that interesting with all the injuries taking place.
So one thing, too, and that is interesting, and it would be interesting to see, like, especially those colder weather locations that cannot, you know, the grass will not survive, even though we've seen it in Chicago, because I think Chicago uses full grass. And
Chicago,
then
Cleveland, they said in Pittsburgh all have grass, but then you have a team like the Giants, Jets, and Bills use field turf.
Right, and you kind of know the difference, because after snow in a Chicago game, everybody's mudded up, and you could see that the field is always beat up after a game, and the Giants and the Jets, MetLife, you don't really see that happen too often because of the type of turf that they're using. So you're absolutely right. But one thing I wanted to touch on, too, was I'm kind of glad that we are experiencing this COVID outbreak with one of the teams, and I'll tell you why.
It's a wake-up call.
It is really a wake-up call for the rest of the NFL. And, you know, I hate to see the games being delayed, because it's really a delay. They're not truly postponing it, even though they use the word postponement today, but they're delaying it till Monday or Tuesday night. I think they're going to announce it probably tomorrow or the next day. And, you know, a lot of the coaches ended up catching the virus. And I think they said, what, four players altogether, or a small number of players? Like, so it kind of reminds me of Major League Baseball when the Marlins ended up having that huge outbreak. And then everyone else all of a sudden started talking about the seriousness of it, right? So I think the rest of the league, it becomes a wake-up call for them to say, hey, you guys might have been relaxing, but now is not the time to be relaxing. Now is the time to be tightening up until the end of January, until the end of the season. The other part to that, too, is that this morning I did hear the news that the Raiders had a party. Some sort of charity event where the players were not wearing masks. And you know what? They're doing an investigation. And if these guys are found to have not been wearing a mask during that event, there's going to be some pretty major fines. And I think they're going to be major fines. I don't think they're going to be these small $10,000 fines.
No.
Those coaches are getting, what, the $250,000 fines if they're not wearing masks?
They're getting $250,000, and then the league sent out this morning a memo to all teams saying, if your head coach or if people on the sidelines aren't wearing a mask, we're going to start taking away picks in the draft. And we're going to take away draft picks. And you know what? I guarantee you, I don't know which team it'll be. Hopefully not Miami. I don't know which team. They're going to do it to one team, because they're going to send a message to be like, we have to make an example. This is no joke. We have to do this. And especially now, you know, this morning or on Wednesday morning when they got there and they found out about the Titans and Pittsburgh game, got to move. I think that game's even on a Sunday night. So I'm not sure. NBC might be now and not have a game on Sunday night. What are they going to do? I'm telling you, the league is probably like these sons of bitches. Oh, bad term to say because I don't want to sound like Trump. They're probably like, what are we going to do now that this is going to possibly screw something up? And, you know, it's like they're going to send a message to somebody because this is still a serious disease. Oh, look, not to talk about this in a way of politics. Over 200,000 people died from this. True. And now it's, you know, screwed up a game. And this morning I was watching one of the news networks. I'm not going to say which one, because once I say which one, half the country is going to flip out. The other half's going to like it. If I say it's the other one's going to be the opposite. One of the news networks, when I saw this report, they reported. Now, it's not going to happen. But at the time, like 8 a.m. this morning, this is the information they had. The league thought or was considering canceling every game this week, only because then it would keep every team on the same type of schedule. And also, this week's games, if you look, there's no games with two teams inside of the same, you know, division. Like Pats and Bills. So there's no real loss if there's no games played this week where it won't affect like the division. So that was being reported early. It's not going to happen, but it was probably on the table being talked about because that wouldn't happen. Because if they can't play this game on Monday or Tuesday, guess what, folks? If they don't have the same week off as a bye, the game's not getting played. Those two teams this year will play 15 games at most, if something, you know, and that's it. I mean, that's right. It. There's just no way to make this up. So it's not a joke, and things will, you know, we will see. We will see. But, yeah, I think there's going to be fines are going to keep coming. And I think, you know, there's going to be one team that's going to lose a pick. Now, look, it's not going to be a pick around one or two, but maybe round three. That's when they pass out the picks for the compensatory picks. Wouldn't shock me.
We'll see. We will see. I'm just, like I said, and like I started with, I'm glad that we're experiencing this now because I think it'll help us for the rest of the season. I mean, you're still going to have people that you probably still have players that pop up every now and again that end up catching the disease just because it's so rampant out there. And sometimes you just walk into a grocery store, you know, and there is not much you can do. And you can't expect players just to stay confined to their homes, you know, unlike the NBA where they're in a bubble for 3 months, 4 months at a time. But I'm happy it happened. Sad for the players. They obviously haven't announced that who the players are and they're keeping that confidential, and which makes sense. But I think we'll probably find out as the injury reports start coming out for Tennessee. You can just kind of start figuring out who it is. And if it's Ryan Tannehill, you know, with Tennessee, then that's going to be a huge detractor for them in the upcoming game. You know, and what if it's Derrick Henry? What if it's Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill? Now you've got two of their best offensive players that are going to be gone. So there's a lot that's going to go into that, but we'll just have to wait and see. And I hope, here's what I'm hoping, honestly, you know, from everything that I've read, it sometimes takes a couple of days up to a week to actually show symptoms or to show that you have the virus. And I know the Titans, they just played Minnesota, didn't they? The Vikings, is that right?
Or who? Yeah.
So
I lost money on that game.
Well, and I'm wondering if, you know, by the end of this week, is it possible once they start getting tested that they have some players that end up testing as positive? And I know they're keeping a very close eye, and I think they've pinpointed which players potentially have that contact. So it's going to be very interesting to see how that works.
Yeah, it's just one of those things that's sort of our new world now this year, our new normal. And, you know, knock on wood, it hasn't happened to Miami in any way, shape, or form, really. And let's hope that continues. But this was bound to happen. And, you know, if it's just this one game when it's all said and done, not the end of the world. But let's just hope, you know, that all these teams continue to follow the rules. And, you know, don't be stupid. Just don't be dumb. Don't be dumb, because we know how rampant this is. And, you know, we'll see about the coaches, because I think, you know, some of these coaches, you know, if I were a coach, I don't know why all of them, and I know you look like an idiot wearing it, but just wear the shield like Andy Reid with the Chiefs. To me, that just seems like the easiest thing. And I think that's probably what you'll see most of them now start to do, just because, you know, even if your mask isn't up, you at least got the shield there. It's almost like a fail safe. because
and
you know
you can still understand the coaches at that point too, and I think with the mask over their mouth, you can sometimes not hear what they say. You know,
they all sound muffled. But yeah, so we'll see, because I know they're going to crack down on one of these coaches, and I don't know which one's going to be. And whatever team and coach it is, they're going to be screaming bloody murder. But they can't say that they weren't warned, because they've been warned more than enough. So last thing here, what's your prediction for this Sunday's game? If you want to give a score one, and it's okay if you say Seattle. All the Miami fans won't turn on you. Trust me.
Even if they do
turn on you, I've learned they always come back.
I'm going to go out on my limb, because I know you've gone out on a couple of limbs through our show this season so far. And I'm going to say Dolphins 32, Seattle 25. And that's the limb that I'm going to go. And when we do our picks this week as a Dolphins Talk staff member, I'm going to live up to that. And I'm going to pick the Dolphins to win this week.
Yeah, I'm not going to pick them to win, but I'll say this. It's going to be closer than a lot of people think. I think the point spread right now is 6.5. I'm going to go Seattle 28, Miami 24. It's going to be a close loss, and I think they're going to be in the game. I think it's going to be an exciting game. I just don't know if they have enough firepower to keep up with a team like Seattle, but they're not going to get blown out. I don't see that happening. I think they'll be in it to the end, and look, I got to make up some ground in that picks challenge. I'm not doing so hot right now.
We're not going to talk about the fantasy football league
I'm not talking. Look, going into that draft, I'm okay with that, actually, because heading into that draft, there were a couple things, which I even told you guys at the night of the draft. Number one, this was my first draft of the entire year, so it takes a couple to get that was my first one. I didn't do any mock drafts, nothing. And two, I tried off a strategy in that league, which I'm never going to try again, which is with the flex, get two elite tight ends, because I have Mark Andrews and Travis Kelce. Let me see how this works, because look, there's no money in that league. I want to win, don't get me wrong, but if I lose, ain't the end of the world either. So I wanted to try, how does a team look with two elite tight ends, one at tight end and one in a flex? First draft, it's not really working out for me right now. I probably won't ever do that strategy again, but I wanted to try it and see how it would work, and it's just not. It's really not.
You didn't want to mention where I am, did you, Mike?
You're first place, aren't you?
Yeah, first place, top points and everything, the whole nine yards. Yeah.
Hey, God bless you.
Thank you. I did do my mock drafts, and I think I did seven or eight before we started. So I was
that does help out. That does.
I think I got Mahomes as my one. I got Aaron Jones as my two, and then I got Tyler Lockett as my three. And just think of those three how much they've done so far this season. Just the three of them alone.
In my one league where we play for a lot of money, I have both Lockett and Jones. So I'm more than happy with them right now.
Oh, yeah.
Because in that league where it's a big financial prize, we pay $250 just to get in, and then there's other things you got to pay for each move you make, every transaction.
Oh, wow.
It's a big pot at the end of the day. That's the draft I have last. That's the one I care about the most. So heading into that draft, I have done a few drafts, and I sort of ramp up to that one. And on that one right now, I don't want to jinx it. I'm doing very well in that league. And as long as everyone stays healthy, everyone's doing
That's the secret now.
Exactly, it is. Because I'm having a good year in that one. So that's the one I really care about. But, in ours, I'm not doing so hot. But it is what it is. Hey, look, who knows? Those things can turn around overnight, too. You never know.
True.
So that's all for today's show. Everyone, be sure to follow Ian Berger on Twitter at Ian693. And also his YouTube page. I'll let you plug the YouTube page.
YouTube is Big E. I am almost up to 1,000 subscribers. I'm about 120 something subscribers away. So subscribe to me, and then I will go live with the experience at Hard Rock Stadium for this coming weekend's game against the Seattle Seahawks. But Mike, I just wanted to remind you before you took us home for the evening. Everybody's gotta tune in next week for the podcast, because I will be using the mower.
Yes.
For the podcast, the Manscaped mower, and I will share with everyone my experience with the mower.
Yes, and this show is audio only, no video, so don't worry, folks.
should I put it next to the microphone so you can hear how quiet it is?
If you want to gain YouTube followers, if you did video that, well, you'd probably be thrown off YouTube.
I lose half my followers. What are you talking about?
Or you'd be thrown off YouTube, too. But, yes, that's a sort of a tease for next week's show. when we talk about Ian's experience with the mower. Now I lost my train of thought. Everyone also follow me on Twitter at Dolphins Talk. Check out the website, dolphinstalk.com. We got a bunch of new podcasts up. We got a bunch of new articles up, and we'll get you ready to go for this weekend's game against the Seattle Seahawks. Sunday morning, check out the Countdown to Kickoff show. Tom can't host it this week because I think it's his like anniversary or something. I don't know. Some lame excuse he gave me.
Blah, blah.
So I know, blah, blah, blah. Get to work, buddy. So I will be stepping in for him and co-hosting with Dante Colonelli for the Countdown to Kickoff show this Sunday morning. But in all seriousness, congratulations there to Tom and his wife on their anniversary. And it's another year under the belt for them. So congratulations there. And I think that's all. So everyone, have a great Thursday. I can't believe it's already Thursday. Wow, this week's flying by. And we'll talk to you again after a while.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.